first hour on Fridays. We hand the keys to the radio station over to the publisher of GeorgiaPaul.com. That's Charlie Harper.
And now that we have the keys, we'll try to observe the life lessons that Dad once gave me, which was don't trade any paint with anyone, don't run it in the ditch. So if you can pretty much do that, whatever else happens, happens. And today in the studio we have Stephen Turkheimer. John Richards is on a plane coming back from Washington, D.C., where he went to get some good old rhino instructions from the establishment, and look forward to catching up with him on whatever he got indoctrinated by those Inside the Beltway people, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But while we've got Stephen in here, apparently the unknown Democratic candidate came out of his hovel, did not see his shadow, and so there's going to be six more months of campaigning.
That's correct.
And so Jim Barksdale, welcome to the race.
Oh,
to the
so exciting.
That, still apparently has to get through a primary, and I haven't really seen a lot of excitement other than, hey, he can write a check.
Oh, that's all we need.
And you know, he might win the primary. I frankly, do you even know who else is? I mean, y'all have other candidates qualified,
they're
right?
They're not real people.
But that there was a not real person that either was at Mississippi or South Carolina, like a truck driver governor or lieutenant governor's race. If I cared about this stuff, I would have looked it up and we'd have a show prepared, but I don't. Jim Barksdale, let's get back to apparently his secret weapon to win this race. I mean, let's just go ahead and reveal it right now. It's the hat, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it is a... Well, it's more of a cap, really.
So is it Trey Parker or Matt Stone that is his general consultant at this point that determined free hat was the best strategy for that's 15-year-old South Park for those of you lost.
Yeah, it was an intern at South Park who got terminated for lack of amusement or something. Yeah, it's a good situation that they've got going here. The hat is actually going to have a press conference, I read, where he actually addresses issues. And it's going to be a change of pace where the candidate doesn't talk about issues, but the hat does.
Well, the hat has its own Twitter account also. Does Jim Barksdale's hat have a Twitter account that I think has more followers than Jim Barksdale?
Oh, wow, that's harsh. It may be the case. I've heard, I have it on good information, the hat is much funnier.
Well, you know, it's, you know, nothing says funny like a college professor wearing lots of brown tweed and a matching hat. So,
he's also on a bicycle.
I've not met the man, and we'll, I'll let you actually give a moment to talk seriously about him if you want or not.
Sure.
But having seen nothing about him, because he would not do press, and then apparently when the AJC finally did a story that said he won't do press, he got offended that that was the first story they wrote about him. Funny how that happens. But there was the movie, I believe it was Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
I'm so glad we're talking about this, Charlie.
And
the
antagonist, villain character in that was the professor that was dating another professor that ended up being Rodney Dangerfield's target of interest.
That's
right now. That's my image of Jim Barksdale is the guy that was driving like the old Aston or whatever.
I was
some
hoping
sort of
you
English,
were going to
English
say...
motor car. Is that who you have running? And if so, how does that connect in the age of Bernie Sanders free stuff for everyone?
That's brilliant. I'm glad I was here to witness that analogy. I will say he's more like the Bobcat Goldthwait character in the you don't remember Bobcat Goldthwait? He was the history professor.
Okay, that's that was Sam Kinison.
Oh, Sam Kinison.
That's
Sam
where you confuse
me.
Sam
the Bobcat Goldthwait of our day.
See, I've actually seen both Bobcat Goldthwait during a spring break in Panama City when we had a corner balcony room overlooking it from the Summit condos. My gosh, I miss the early 90s.
Oh,
they were so much fun. That was back when Bobcat Goldthwait was fun,
back
too.
Back then, Lance Morissette, mostly?
The voices in my head.
Mm,
it explains so much
them.
About why I am where I am today.
Talking Heads were great.
But, yeah, good times. I think Bananarama was still popular then. But,
And then,
of course, you have Panama by Van Halen that is pretty much the soundtrack.
That's before we even had global warming. How big was the beach then?
It was when we were still worried about global cooling. I mean,
global
come
cooling.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
So this really is what the Jim Barksdale campaign is about. Everyone filling airtime until he tells us after his listening tour, right? Because we'd really love to talk about his issues, but he won't say what they are.
Well,
so, you know, this is our equal time, given that we've talked about my good friend, Uncle Johnny, Johnny Isaacson. And I, you know, again, for the listeners, if you're surprised, I support Johnny Isaacson, period. He has two primary challengers. They, four of their friends and a service assistance animal, did a press conference at the Capitol this week to say that they were going to take out Isaacson. Even a lot of the critics of establishment senators are not willing to get on the you know, Johnny Isaacson is liked, I'll just say, by some Democrats. We won't make you say anything about that, so you can keep your party cred together.
That's very kind.
The anti-establishment Republicans understand that even if they might prefer someone else, it's just not worth the political capital of tilting this windmill, except for the good six people that stood together at the Capitol to proclaim they were going to somehow win. You know, Isaacson, I think, is going to win this contest, except then we have a general election campaign where, and we're going to talk about this in one of the later segments, if Donald Trump is on the ballot, does that chase people away from both the ballot box and the party, which is why the Democrats, I think, you know, truth be told, there are a lot of Democrats in the state, high-ranking possible party officials, that don't relish the prospect of running someone against Johnny Isaacson. They realize that he's probably one of the best they could hope for in terms of someone that's not going to necessarily just do Republican talking point red meat stuff and then otherwise obstruct everything. Johnny goes to Washington, makes no bones about it. He's up there to fix things, and that requires passing legislation, and he'll get involved on actually working on that. And that's something that's unfortunately way too rare in Republican politics, but presidential election all of a sudden goes south, and Trump is still recording some of the highest unfavorable ratings ever recorded. So while a certain subset of the Republican base seems to think he's the cure-all, they're not the ones noted for thinking anyone else in the world disagrees with them, and they keep using the word silent majority, which amazingly ironic given that they're neither silent nor a majority, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So is there more of a Democratic strategy than sit, wait, hope for Trump, and
funnel in a bunch of money?
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's a pretty good strategy. I don't think you need more than that. I would say that, yeah, I mean, this election isn't going to be about Johnny Isaacson if the Jim Barksdale people have their way. It's going to be about the direction, what the Republicans are with Donald Trump. And Isaacson at some point is going to have to decide whether he's with Trump or against Trump. And if he's with Trump, then maybe he keeps some of the Trump voters. And if he's against Trump, then he's going to lose some of them.
I would hate to speak for him, but I'm fairly certain he's on the record of saying he will support the Republican nominee, whoever it is.
Exactly. And assuming that's Donald Trump and he has to make a stronger statement, there's going to be some give back and forth there that can be, you know, through theoretically used against him. I mean, is the Barksdale campaign likely to win now? Is it, if he puts $10 million of his own money in, is that going to be enough to make it close? It might. Georgia's demographics are such so that it can with a presidential bump, make things relatively close. Is he going to top 48% now? Unlikely.
Is he Sam Kinison or is he Bobcat Goldthwait?
That's really what we need to decide.
Yeah, I think, if he's not going to decide his own issues, during the listening tour, I would like everyone to call the Jim Barksdale office and let them know whether or not they think he's more of a Bobcat Goldthwait or if he's more of a Sam Kinison. Because if you're going to listen and let the people decide.
You can also tweet at him.
I think we should also change his name to Senator McSenatory Face. Oh. And, if the public gets to decide all these things and you don't want issues on your own, what better way to do this?
How about Professor McTenured? That might be a kind of a...
That could work.
I mean...
If you're going to give away free stuff, make sure the tenured people get it first, not those adjuncts that are eligible for food stamps.
Those guys are the worst.
It's really about tenured professors. It's a caste system, people.
It is.
Bernie Sanders wants more money to go into a caste system.
Yeah.
It's all the way it is.
The irony about this whole thing is that Jim Barksdale would be is a great candidate in some ways. He's got a lot of money. And he is a businessman, and those are the things we're supposed to like.
We have one of those already, and we'll probably talk a little more about him in the third segment.